Let's turn together in our Bibles to Romans chapter 7, where we find our text. Also, we'll be looking in the back of our Red Trinity songbooks at Lord's Day 44 in just a minute. But first, let's read from Romans chapter 7. So Romans 7, and we'll start at verse 7 and read down to verse 12. Romans 7, that's found on page 1121. Page 1121, Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 7. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And that's as far as reading here in Romans 7, specifically Romans 7, verse 7, that the law reveals sin, and specifically where the law says, you shall not covet. And when you read the law, you finally understand the depth of your sin and your need for a Savior. So let's read now from Lord's Day 44. If you turn with me in the back of your songbooks to Lord's Day 44. We're coming to an end of the Ten Commandments. You'll see next time, Lord willing, with Lord's Day 45, we transition to prayer. There's two major documents in the last section of the Catechism, the gratitude section. You'll find the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer in the gratitude section, not in the sin section or the salvation section, but in our service section of the Catechism. So Lord's Day 44, let's read the answers together. Question and answer 113. What is God's will for you in the Tenth Commandment? That not even the slightest desire or thought contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in our hearts. Rather, with all our hearts, we should always hate sin and delight in all righteousness. And then question answer 114, but can those converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? No, in this life, even the holiness have only a small beginning of this obedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some, of God's commandments. And then finally, question and answer 115. This answer tells us why we read the law or what is the purpose of the law within our particular worship services. Question and answer 115. Since no one in this life can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, why does God want them preached so pointedly? First, so that all our life long we may more and more come to know our sinful nature and thus more eagerly seek the forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, so that we may never stop striving and never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, so that we may be renewed more and more after God's image, until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. As far as reading in the Catechism, we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, is God only concerned with the externals? Does our God care about our desires? Does God care about our motivation? Does God care about our hearts? Well, if you've been paying attention during these past series through the Ten Commandments, you have found absolutely God cares about our hearts. He cares about our desires. In fact, Samuel was told this in this is 1 Samuel 16, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. And the fact is, we are often forced to deal with the externals because we are limited in our knowledge. But would it be wise, if you were going to buy a car, to buy a car on the external alone? So you go up to the used car lot and you see this car in the corner and it looks good. Would it be wise to purchase the car without ever popping the hood, without ever starting the engine, without looking at the internals of this particular vehicle? No, that would be very unwise. So it is, our actions are an important part of how we live and what we do. I could put it this way, our heart is the engine of our life. God is concerned not only with the external, not only with the state of the paint on the outside, but he's concerned about the engine, about the internal, about the heart. As we bring to a conclusion our series on the Ten Commandments today, we find that this particular commandment brings the heart front and center. Although it is true with the previous nine commandments, we applied each of those commandments to the heart, that commandment begins in the external, where this particular commandment starts with the internal. It starts with the heart. It focuses on a person's desire. The Ten Commandments here specifically deals with our sins in the heart. This commandment, as the last of the ten, will also give us an opportunity, like a mirror, to reflect back on the previous nine. So this commandment is going to bring us back to the rest of the law, and it's going to internally look at our hearts. Where does sin come from? Where does our breaking of the other nine commandments begin? There is sin evident long before a person commits murder. There is sin present in a person's heart long before they commit adultery. In fact, as James 4 rightly asked the question, what causes fights and quarrels and conflict among you? What causes all these fights and quarrels and conflicts? It is the desire. It is the wants. It is the wishes that have run amok within you. What causes these fights and quarrels? You have wants, you desire things, but you're not getting those desires met. Your passions, James says, your passions are at war within you. So if we are to win the battle against sin, we have to go to the source of the battle. Where does the battle start? Our obedience is to flow from a heart that has been made new. True obedience is incomplete if the heart, if the desire, if the will is not also considered. Like a car with no engine would be looking at the external actions without considering the heart. The fact is, the 10th commandment, this you shall not covet, is not part of what we would call the natural law of man. Although if you look at society as a whole, there are laws against stealing, laws against murder, there are laws against lying to judges and consequences for bearing false witness. There are even laws designed to protect marriage in some sense. But it remains that there is no law given among men in human realm, laws against coveting. There's no law that says you shall not covet, because man cannot see what goes on in the heart. It is hidden, it is secret, it is private. There was a movie a few years back, and in this particular movie, a person had the ability to read the thoughts of everyone else around him, to get into their heart, if you will. What a scary idea. I mean, isn't that sobering? What would other people think of us if they could look at our heart, if they could look into our minds and consider what we are thinking? Well, the fact is, God can and God does know your heart. He knows what you are thinking right now. He knows your desires. He knows the things that you yearn for. So obedience to the Lord must include a change in our motivation, in the longings of our heart. We read earlier from Romans 7, verse 7, and here Paul says, I would not have known sin if it had not been for the law. And what sin specifically, or what commandment specifically does Paul mention? He says, coveting. It is possible for a person in the superficial reading of the law to say, well, I've never bowed down to a graven image. I've never actually committed murder. I've never committed adultery. I've never stolen something. I've kept all these laws. And then bring that to mind what we read in Mark 10. We have this rich man, this rich young man coming to Jesus, and he says, Jesus lists the second table of the law, right? Honor your father and mother, don't steal, don't commit murder. What does that rich young ruler say, children? All these I have kept from my youth. Which commandment was not listed? Which one did Jesus not say? He did not say in Mark 10, Jesus did not say, you shall not covet. Because as Paul says, this is back in Romans 7, when you look at coveting, it is impossible for anyone to say, all these I have kept from my youth. It is impossible for someone to look at the law, you shall not covet, and say, I've never struggled with that. I've never sinned in this area. The 10th commandment is the Pharisee killer. The 10th commandment exposes the hypocrisy of the legalist. If coveting is a sin, if wrong desires, the desire itself is sinful, then I am forced to say, there is no one righteous. I am not righteous. I have sinned. I need a Savior. And that's the point the Catechism is bringing to us today. Why does God want the law preached so pointedly? Why does the Lord include the 10th commandment? So that every one of us has to say, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. We would never say, all these I have kept from my youth, because we all, every one of us, struggle with desires and thoughts and the yearnings of our heart. The 10th commandment proves our need for forgiveness. So Jesus Christ brings us to the 10th commandment and says, you shall not covet. Have you ever coveted? If you have, you need a Savior. And Jesus is the only one who saves. That's the good news. You need to know your need before you appreciate the work of Jesus Christ. So Christ is bringing you to the law so that the law would humble you and drive you back into the arms of Jesus Christ, the merciful Savior. So our theme is this: Jesus Christ uses the 10th commandment to prove our need for forgiveness. To prove our need for forgiveness. Our sermon for today is going to be broken down into two parts. You'll remember that the law is summarized in two sections, right? Loving the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, first table of the law, dealing with our relationship to God, the vertical component, the horizontal, the vertical component. And the second is dealing with the vertical component, our relationship to fellow man, loving our neighbor as ourselves. So in our first point, we're going to see how we sin against God when it comes to our coveting. So if the law tells us, the summary of the law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, how does this 10th commandment, you shall not covet, expose our lack of love to God? How can a person, how do we all sin in this regard? How do we covet against God? Well, just as a reminder, a covet is an improper desire. Coveting is to want or to crave something that is not your own, or to desire something in an improper way. In forbidding the sin of coveting, we are instructed, this is question answer 113, to desire nothing contrary to any of God's commandments. So the 10th commandment is pointing us back to the law and saying you shall not desire anything contrary to God's commandments. Well, what does God want, or what does man want from God, or what does man want that God has? Well, for one thing, man wants to be God. Man wants to be God. One of the gravest sins of idolatry is that we want to put ourselves in God's place. We want absolute power so that we bow to no one. We want to have all the glory. We want everything to be about us. We want other people to resolve their lives to be revolving around us. We want the praise. We want the power. We want the authority. We want to be the law giver. Isn't that what was in the days of the judges? Everybody was doing what is right in their own eyes. Is that not idolatry? They wanted to be the law giver. I want to be the law giver. Every child struggles with that. I want to be the one who makes the rules. Who are you to tell me what to do and what I shouldn't do? Well, that is the human condition, sinful, fallen human condition. We don't want God and his law telling us what to do. And in fact, this was the very sin of Satan. Pushing beyond the bounds, beyond the limits that God had created. In Isaiah 14, we find that Satan wanted to make himself like the Most High. Satan wanted to set up his throne and rule over all. What was the sin that led to Satan's fall? He was not content with the position that God had given to him. He wanted to rival God. He wanted to rule over God. So the initial crime that Satan committed was that he coveted God's honor, glory, power, and dominion. How about Adam and Eve? What was the sin that started the sin? What is the heart desire? Well, remember that when Eve looked at the fruit, she said this, it was desirous. She coveted with her eyes, and she wanted to have knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil. She wanted to be like God, knowing good and evil. What was the sin that Adam and Eve committed? It was coveting the knowledge of God, to be in God's place, longing for wisdom beyond their created limit. They wanted to be on par or parallel with God. But the problem is, when you covet something, you end up losing the thing that you desire. So when Satan coveted God's power and glory, the result is he was cast out of heaven and thrown down to the earth. Adam and Eve, coveting God's wisdom to be, quote, wise like God, in the end lost true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. So those who covet lose the very thing that they desire. Coveting is breaking God's created order, and it bankrupts man. It undermines our created position and is a rejection of our created limits. When we think about it, coveting, at its heart, all coveting is idolatry, because it is putting our desires in the place of what God says you should desire. Listen to these words from Colossians 3, verse 5. Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Paul says this very clearly in Colossians 3, verse 5. Covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is taking your desires and putting them in the place of what God says you should be desiring. Covetousness is making yourself the lawgiver, and it's pushing God and his law to the side. It is setting yourself up as the supreme being. To want something that God has not given is to question God's wisdom and providence. To covet is to deny God his place as God, as the one to tell you what is right, true, and good. So coveting wishes that I was God and I controlled everything, I make the laws, I'm all-powerful, and I deserve the glory. That's why coveting is idolatry. You are worshiping your own desires and ideas instead of worshiping the one true God and His Word. It is pushing against and questioning God's will. Wrong desires and impure motives fill your heart and push God from the throne of your heart where God alone should sit. To deny that God is good and right, questioning God's limit and purpose, which leads to idolatry. One more example was Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3. After Nebuchadnezzar has had this vision where his rule is compared to the glorious kingdom that will extend from sea to sea and cover the earth, Nebuchadnezzar's heart is filled with pride. And what does he do? He sets up this golden image on a platform so that people from all nations would fall down and worship his image. He coveted the honor, glory, and kingdom of God. Because in that image that Nebuchadnezzar had, his kingdom was the head of gold, but there was a kingdom to come after his, but Nebuchadnezzar rejects that. I don't want any kingdom to come after mine. My kingdom is eternal. So the image of a soldier with a golden head and a torso of silver and waist of bronze, he changes the vision so that it's all gold, all him and his glory and his kingdom. There will be nothing and no one after me, so Nebuchadnezzar says. You must worship me and my image. Coveting leads to idolatry. As I said before, the commandments stand or fall together. They are intricately linked, specifically clear today. So if you covet or crave or desire things with your heart, it's not just that you are sinning against the person that you are coveting or craving. So if you are desiring your neighbor's wife, you're not just sinning against your neighbor and his wife, you are sinning against God who gave the law. It is a rebellion against God, the lawgiver. The commandments stand or fall. If you do not love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your heart is prone to concoct its own God to worship. So as we meditate upon the first table of the law, who you worship, how you worship, when you worship, in whose name you worship. If you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will covet and you will fall into idolatry. And that's why worship today in so many churches and so many circles is man-centered, man-driven. My glory, my praise, my idea. Because man wants to be God. He wants to be the one who makes the rules and who gets the praise. Coveting after God's glory and praise is idolatry. Instead, the solution is this. We must love God and submit to His Word, acknowledging that God is God and He alone has the right to tell you what is good and what is evil, what is true and what is false. That throne on your heart has no room for man and no room for yourself. You worship the God who made you, and you worship according to His Word. That is the cure to covetousness and idolatry, that you desire God to get the glory that He deserves. Well, now that we've considered how coveting is a sin, an attack on God and His glory, in our second point, we continue to see how this particular commandment is instructive in how we are to view and relate to others. Our particular commandment reads, this is directly from Exodus 20, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, you shall not covet your neighbor's servant or his animals, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor." So in what ways are we tempted to covet the things that our neighbor has. We're very briefly going to run through the fifth through ninth commandment to see how coveting is our failing to covet or refusing to covet is the solution or the answer to all of these commandments. So the fifth commandment, children, honor your father and mother, obey your parents. Where does coveting come into the relationship between children and parents? Well, when a child says no to mommy and daddy, when mom says go clean your room and the child says no, I will not, that child has just pushed mom aside, mom's word aside, and said, Mom, you are not worthy to tell me what to do. I will be the lawgiver here. Coveting is putting yourself in your parents' position of authority, refusing to bow the knee to God-given authority. Because every child craves, I want to be the one in charge. Who are you to tell me what I am to do? So they don't honor their father and mother because they want to be their own master. Extending that beyond in various areas. We rebel against authority because we think we know what is best. The rules apply to everyone else and not me. I am above the law. Breaking the fifth commandment. Coveting desires the authority and power of others, which then leads to conflict. The same applies to the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Where does murder start? It doesn't start with a hand that has a knife. It doesn't start with a hand that holds a gun. Where does murder start? It starts with coveting, desiring, coveting your neighbor's life, wanting your neighbor to die, wanting something your neighbor has so you kill for it. My neighbor has injured me, and in order to make myself the judge, I will execute vengeance. I will do what is right in my own eyes. Anger left unchecked leads to murder. The killing of your neighbor is usually linked to some other crime or some other desire that is left unchecked. Somehow I get what I want, so I will take your life to get you out of the picture. Continuing then to the seventh commandment, adultery. The Lord says this very clearly. Jesus Christ says, adultery starts not with what you do with the external body, but it starts in your heart. To covet your neighbor's wife, that lustful look, is in fact coveting, breaking this commandment before you break the seventh commandment. Do not covet your neighbor's wife. Don't desire your neighbor's spouse, because it will lead you to break this commandment, the seventh commandment. Do not lust after pictures of others, because it will ensnare your heart. Do not covet your neighbor's spouse. Continuing, don't covet anything that your neighbor has. This is the eighth commandment. You shall not steal. Why does a person steal? Because they're coveting. They want something their neighbor has. So a man covets his neighbor's car, leading to Grand Theft Auto. A man covets his neighbor's house, squatting is born. A man covets his neighbor's goods, breaking and entering and shoplifting. We can even take this to another direction. What leads to the great problem of debt that we have in our society today, the problem with credit card debt and all these different things? Is it not from a heart that covets? I crave, I desire, I want something now. I don't want to steal to get it, but I'm going to take out a loan, buy now, pay later. Does this not also come from a heart of coveting? Desire, crave, something that has not been given to me, so I will do anything I can, any means necessary to get the thing that I want, even though I can't afford it. Coming from a covetous heart. And then finally, we come to the ninth commandment. Why do people lie? Why do people bear false witness? There's always something to be gained when a person lies. Either in lying, I am elevating myself or I am putting someone else down. I lie in order to undermine a co-worker because I hate this person or I want this person's position or I long to see this other person humiliated. A covetous heart wants others to look bad so that I might be elevated. But by refusing to covet, you are refusing to undermine your neighbor's good name. So to summarize, the 10th commandment is pointing us backwards, but it's also pointing us inward. In order to properly understand the rest of the commandments, we read it in light of the 10th commandment, and it drives us to the heart of the law. You shall not covet. The solution of that is you shall love. Right? Loving properly is the solution to coveting. Are we longing? Are we lusting? Are we craving for things that other people have? Do you want power, authority, glory, a wife, a husband, a house, a land, a name, a possession that belongs to someone else? Then coveting is crouching in your heart. Like Cain, the first murderer. Cain's sin of the heart was coveting. He desired the acceptance. He wanted to have the benefits, but he fell into idolatry. Cain refused to offer to God what was pleasing to God. Cain wanted to be the one who makes the rules. So he commits murder in order to get what his heart desires, to replace the good son so that he would be the only son. So it is the 10th commandment internalizes the law and drives us to its proper end, which is loving God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Before we close, we remember that the Catechism also here tells us in question answer 115 that the purpose of the law is to reveal God's will to us, so that we would see our sin, that we would hate that sin and flee from that sin to Jesus Christ. The 10th commandment makes it clear that we all sin at various times and in various ways. When you read the 10th commandment, no one would have the audacity to say, "All these I have kept from my youth," because we all struggle in our hearts. This particular sin, or this particular law, shows us our sinful nature so that we would more eagerly seek forgiveness. Question and answer 115. Jesus points to our heart and says, "I want your heart." The fact is, our world is not a friend to grace nor a friend to contentment. Instead, our world encourages consumerism and nurtures the seed of coveting. So what is the solution? What are we to do? Two brief applications. First, see what God has given you and give thanks for those blessings. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Be happy and satisfied, acknowledging the Father as the fountain and source of every good and perfect gift. Count your blessings and praise God for them all. Second, learn to thank God for what he has not given you. I'll say that again. Learn to thank God for what he has not given you. Rejoice in the blessings that God has given to your neighbor, saying, "Thank you, God, for giving this to my neighbor." Seek to do good to your neighbor, as the law guides you in the path of good works and obedience. Pray that God would bless your neighbor and seek to be a blessing to him. As question answer 115 puts it, never stop striving and praying that you may be renewed in the image of our God. Jesus Christ, our theme states, Jesus Christ uses the 10th commandment to prove our need for forgiveness. So you shall not covet means hate sin and delight in all righteousness. Love God and love your neighbor. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the depth of the law and our own depravity. As we consider the commandments, we see how far we have all fallen and how often we commit sins against you. For we covet against you by rejecting and rebelling against your law, and we covet against our neighbor as we want the things that he has, and we desire the things that are not ours as if they were our own. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us hearts of godliness and contentment, that we would be thankful for what we have, and that we would acknowledge these blessings as gifts from your hand. Teach us to love you and to love our neighbor. Teach us, O Lord, to not covet, but rather be thankful and obedient in all of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.